Deuteronomy chapter 29, our text is found in verses 1 through 15. Deuteronomy 29, verses 1 through 15. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, and unto all his servants, and unto all his land. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs, and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. And when ye came unto this place, Sihon the king of Heshbon and Og the king of Bashan came out against us to battle, and we smote them. And we took their land and gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Keep, therefore, the words of this covenant, and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders, your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, thy stranger that is in thy camp, the hewer of thy wood, and unto the drawer of thy water, that thou shouldst enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. Father, we thank thee for thy word. We pray that thou wast by thy Spirit cause it to bring to us the needed instruction, that we might be a wise people and that we might know thy ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Renewing our relationship to God. Here in the chapters 29 and 30 of Deuteronomy, we have Moses' third sermon. We studied the first two sermons, the second one, of course, being the longest one, from chapter 5 and onward. And here we have the third and last sermon of Moses to the people of Israel just before they were to cross over into the promised land. We saw in our study before that way back at Horeb at Mount Sinai, Israel had agreed that they would do all that the Lord had said. They would obey the Lord in all that he had told them to do. However, this was the previous generation. And back there at Horeb at Mount Sinai, after coming out of the land of Egypt, 40 years before, the people there had said, all that the Lord has said we will do. However, they refused to obey the Lord and go into the promised land, and as a result, they wandered for 40 years in the desert, and now we have a new generation. After 40 years going by, we have here the new generation of Israelites, and Moses here then confronts them with the very same statements that he made way back there at Sinai, and challenges this new generation to obey all that the Lord tells them to do. Exhorted, therefore, to make a personal commitment to obey the Lord their God in everything, to learn His teachings and to submit to His ways, a specific renewal then of their relationship to God. Some of these people had been back there at that time. Some of them were children at that time. And they, perhaps, some of them remembered this. Some of them had not been there. And Moses confronts all of them and says, you are ready to go into the promised land. Now is the time to rededicate your lives to God's purpose and plan for you. We'd like to notice three things in these verses. First of all, we'd like to notice the basis for renewing our relationship to God. In verses 2 and 3, Moses reminds them that some of them there present had been in the land of Egypt. They had seen the miracles that God had performed in the land of Egypt against the Egyptians, the great trials that God brought upon the Egyptians, the great deliverances that God gave for His people there in Egypt. Some of them had been there as children. Others had not been there personally, but had heard the accounts of what God had done there in the land of Egypt. And so they knew what had gone on, that God had redeemed His people, Israel, from the land of Egypt. They had been slaves there. They were in slavery. God had shown His power by giving them deliverance through Moses. They believed the word of God. They believed what Moses told them, that God wanted to deliver them. And God did just what He said. They were saved then from the slavery of Egypt by the grace of God through faith in a miraculous way. And in fact, we're told in the New Testament then that they were baptized unto Moses in the Red Sea as they passed through the waters of the Red Sea, a type of their deliverance. And so the people of Israel, as they came to Mount Sinai, were a delivered people. They were a redeemed people. They had a relationship to God. And so this is very important, because only a redeemed people can renew their relationship to God. You cannot renew that which you do not have. And so they were a redeemed people, and this was why they could renew that relationship. We must have a relationship before we can renew it. We are told in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, that Paul says to the Ephesians, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Without Jesus Christ, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We have no relationship to God, but by the grace of God, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, we come into a relationship with God. And as a result of this coming into a relationship with Him, then it becomes possible for us on occasions to renew this relationship, a renewed dedication once we know Him as our Savior. First, the step of repenting of our sins and believing the gospel, receiving Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And then when we're saved and enter into a relationship, then it's possible to renew our dedication to Him. And this is what God was asking again of Israel. In Sinai, they were His people already. They were a redeemed people. And He was seeking to encourage them to give themselves to knowing His word and His ways. And they said they would do that. They failed. And so Moses here encourages the new generation. He says, will you give yourselves to a knowing of God's will and God's way, His word and His ways? And so the basis for renewal is that we need to be redeemed. Unless you're saved, unless you know Jesus Christ as Savior, then you cannot renew a relationship that you do not already have. First, we need to be saved. And so Israel was a redeemed people. But in spite of the fact that they were a redeemed people, people that knew God as their Savior, their Redeemer, there was a need for renewal in their lives. And I think we can say this out of our own experience. There is a constant need for renewal in our lives, renewal of our relationship to God through Jesus Christ. Birth is only the beginning. And so we read, for example, in 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." We've come into God's family by grace, through faith. But being born into God's family, born again by the Spirit of God, is just the beginning. And there needs then to be the growth, the going on, going ahead in the things of God. That's why Peter says in 1 Peter 2:2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that ye might grow thereby." And so there's the exhortation, birth is not enough. Just being a member of the family of God is just the beginning. We need to go on. We need to grow. We need the Word of God that we might grow in the things of God, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The situation that apparently happened to Israel was that although they were a redeemed people, nevertheless they failed to go on and grow up, you might say, go on in the things of God. And Moses here laments this in verse 4, after telling them in verses 2 and 3 that they had seen these things and they had been delivered from the land of Egypt and they had become God's people. Nevertheless, we read in verse 4, Moses laments, "Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day." Unto that very day, the people of Israel lacked spiritual understanding. They were believers. They were the people of God. But they had no spiritual understanding. They had not grown in the things of God. And they did not understand the ways of God. This is repeated for us in Psalm 103 and verse 7, where we read that God made known His ways unto Moses and His deeds unto the children of Israel. The children of Israel saw the deeds of God. They saw the plagues that came upon the Egyptians. They saw the Red Sea open. They saw the marvelous works of God. And they rejoiced in the works of God. But they never learned the ways of God. Moses knew the ways of God. He had learned the ways in which God works so that he might anticipate what God was going to do even. And that's what delights God, that we might know His ways, that we might walk in His ways, seeing the ways in which He works, that we might carefully walk in them and obey them. And Moses, in his waiting upon God and looking into the Word of God, had grown in the grace of God and knew the ways of God. But he laments that the Israelites had not learned this. They were constantly amazed at the deeds of God, the acts of God, the miracles of God, but they had no understanding of the ways of God. Moses says this is the reason. Verse 5, "I have led you 40 years in the wilderness." Moses had to lead them step by step in the wilderness. They never learned to understand God's ways for themselves. And in fact, they were constantly giving Moses problems because they didn't understand God's ways. They ate the manna and they possessed the land east of the Jordan, rejoiced in seeing all that God did, but they never came to an understanding of His ways. What a sad verse. What a sad commentary we have here of the people of Israel. I think this is one of the, by way of contrast, one of the greatest joys that the Lord has given to me to minister here in this place. And what a thrill to see you growing in the knowledge of the ways of God. What a blessing this is. What a joy. Many times we find a situation in a church where the people will idolize a dynamic type of pastor and they will follow closely everything he says, rather than learning God's ways. that they might follow God along with him as he is following God. The result then is that the people are constantly, year after year, dependent upon the pastor rather than learning God's ways for themselves. And they are constantly depending that the pastor lead them rather than learning God's ways and then being able to be used of God to lead others outside of the congregation that they come into contact day by day in their own lives. And so there's the expanding then of growth. And we can sympathize with Moses, the sorrow that brought that was brought to his heart as he had to say, "Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive." What a sad thing. And that's why he exhorts them in verses 6 and 7 and 8. He said, you've seen the manna come down, how God has provided. You've seen how God has given you the victory on the east side of Jordan and given you the kingdoms there. And so he exhorts them again in verse 9, "Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that you do." Now, the word prosper here, actually in its basic meaning, is understand. For example, the same word is used just a little bit further in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 29. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 28, we read, "For they are a nation void of counsel." Here he's lamenting that the Israelites had not grown in the knowledge of the ways of God, and they were a nation void of counsel. You couldn't get counsel from them. They had to be counseled. They were not able to counsel others. And so he says, they are a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. They did not understand the ways of God. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. And the word there in verse 29, that they understood this, the word shakal, is the very same word that we have in chapter 29 and verse 9, where it says that ye may prosper. And so we can change this here to read, "Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may understand all that ye do." And that's what God wants. God doesn't just want blind, fatalistic obedience. God wants his people to understand what he's doing. And Moses once again exhorts the new generation. He says, the previous generation never came to understanding, and even to this day, you don't understand God's ways. And so he exhorts them, keep. And the word there, keep, means to guard as a precious thing. Preciously guard the words of this covenant and do them, put them into practice, so that as you meditate on them and preciously guard them and put them into practice, you will begin to see how God works and understand his ways, that you might understand all that you do. Not just say, "Well, Moses said we have to do such and such, and so we better do such and such." No, he says, God wants you to understand what you're doing. He wants you to understand his ways. And so rather than depending upon Moses for everything, God wanted them to understand his ways. Now, this was basically the same prayer that Paul had for the Ephesians. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, beginning in verse 17, Paul prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Paul says to the Ephesians, I don't want you just to be just Christians, just believers. He said, I want you to be knowledgeable believers, men and women who know the ways of God, that you might have understanding of the things of God, that you might have understanding of the ways of God. Paul says, this is what I desire for you, that you might be a wise people. And so Moses says to the Israelites, yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive. And when we first look at that, we might say in our own hearts, well, you know, if God didn't give it to him, what's he complaining about? But understanding is a gift of God. In the same way that salvation is a gift of God. We cannot gain salvation by our own efforts. It's by the grace of God. Nevertheless, God has decreed that we should repent, and he commands us to do so, and he commands all men everywhere to repent, and as we obey that command to repent and believe the gospel, then we find that the gift of God is salvation. And so we can't work for it, and yet we must receive it. Now, the same way with wisdom. We are not capable of discovering the wisdom of God. A man can give himself to studying the Bible and everything related to religion. He can become a professor of religion and get his doctorate in Bible and yet be completely ignorant of the real teachings of Scripture and a complete stranger to the ways of God. Because you cannot just pull these things out for yourself. Nevertheless, God desires that we be wise. We read in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. And so God wants us to be a wise people, and God commands us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And at the same time, we have to come to him and say, Lord, I can't do it. I thank you that you've commanded me, because that gives me the assurance that you will give it to me. And so I come and ask you that you would give me this wisdom. And so we come asking and we pray, Lord, open my eyes. As Paul prays for the Ephesians, the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. And so we come, God, I pray that you would open up the eyes of my spiritual understanding, that I might know your ways. And as we determine in our hearts that this is going to be our possession, that we want this more than anything else, and we ask it of God, we find then that God is desirous that we have this. And Moses here then exhorts the Israelites. He says, the Lord hasn't given this to you because you haven't asked him. James tells us, you have not because you ask not. And so Moses says, God hasn't given this to you, but he wants you to ask him. And so he encourages them that they would sincerely desire to know God's ways. He commands them then, keep therefore, guard preciously the words of God, that you might come into the knowledge of his ways. Now, who should renew their relationship with God? Moses then tells us in verses 10 and 11, ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God. This wasn't merely for the leaders. Sometimes we think that the only people that need to have a knowledge of the ways of God are the religious leaders, you know, the ministers and the theologians. God says through Moses to Israel, ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God. Not only the captains and the elders and the officers, but also even to the hewers of wood and the drawers of water, the lowest, most menial tasks among the Israelites. You stand, all of you, before the Lord your God, and each and every one of them was commanded, keep therefore jealously guard the words of God, that you might understand what you're doing, that you might understand the ways of God. And so great and small are exhorted to know the ways of God, to enjoy spiritual wisdom. I think one of the greatest blessings to me in years gone by was when I'd come across references to Sophie the Scrubwoman, who, although she had no education and very difficult life, hard work, yet there was a depth of spiritual understanding in this woman. In fact, it's interesting that her name, Sophie, is the Greek word Sophia, which means wisdom. And she was a wise woman. No formal training, and yet a depth of spiritual wisdom. And God says to the Israelites, all the way from your captains down to the hewers of wood and drawers of water, the intention that God has for you is that you be wise and that you know the ways of God. And not only the great and the small, but the old and the young. He says, your wives and your the strangers in thy camp and your little ones. And many times it's been a blessing to us to see how a child can come to such a clear understanding. Not only an understanding of his personal relationship to Jesus Christ, genuine conversion, but to see how a child many times can develop, grow in a real spiritual understanding. And the Word of God is so simple that a child can understand it. The ways of God are so simple that children can understand His ways, even though the ways of God are so deep that they are a lifetime process of growth for the Christian. And so, whether old or young, the ways of God are meant to be the joyous possession of the believer. Not only the great and the small and the old and the young, but also all generations. Notice we have in verses 12 to 14, Moses says that thou shouldst enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, that he may establish thee. Verse 14, neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. Now, the Israelites that day might have said, well, God made a covenant with the people back in Sinai, back at Horeb, but since we weren't there, then it's not for us. Back there, God commanded the people. He says, I want you to obey my words that you might come to know my ways. But the people here, the next generation, could have said, well, that was for them. How do we know it's for us? And so Moses says that he made covenant with Israel back at Horeb. Now, in verse 1, also in the land of Moab. And so it was repeated in the land of Moab. God's challenge to the Israelites, I want you to keep my words and learn my ways. And so Moses said, you can't say it's not for you because I'm repeating it now again for you. But knowing human nature, Moses realized that probably a few years later there'd be somebody else that would say, well, I know that God said this to the Israelites back at Horeb, and I know that he repeated it again to the new generation in the plains of Moab, but you know, I guess it's not for me. And so Moses says, we're going to solve that little problem. Moses says, not only for you who are here this day, but also for him that is not here with us this day. And so if any Israelite later would say, well, it's not for me because I was not there that day, he could turn to Scripture and say, why, it was precisely for you, because it was for him that was not there that day. This is for you. Were you there that day? No. This is for you then, because it was specifically mentioned that it was for him that was not there that day. And since you weren't there that day, it's specifically for you. God wants you to know his word and learn his ways. And so this is for each of us. It's as we go through this portion, these 15 verses, we notice that the word today or this day is repeated 6 times in these 15 verses. Today, this day. In other words, God is saying right now. Right now, I want you to determine in your heart that by my grace you are going to Give yourself to keeping my words that you might learn my ways. Right now. Do it right now. Don't wait. It's for you. And it's right now. The tendency now in our day is to say, well, that's fine. But of course, this is the Old Testament. Isn't that too bad? And so this is not for us. Well, that's not true. When Paul wrote the words, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, the only Scripture he had was the Old Testament. And he was saying it to New Testament believers. But just in case someone still has a little hang-up on that, let's look to the New Testament. In the book of Hebrews, we find in chapters 3 and 4, the repetition of the same thing. Now, the book of Hebrews, the theme of the book of Hebrews is, let us go on. In other words, the Jews there of that early church were stagnant, and they weren't going on. And the author of the book of Hebrews is trying to encourage them. He says, let's go on. Don't stalemate here. Let's go on in the things of God. Let's grow in the things of God. You're still like little children. You should be at a place now where you are teaching others and you still need to be taught. You should be at a place where you're eating the beefsteak of the Word of God and you're still on the milk. For length of time, you should know the ways of God and you're still just amazed at the works of God. He says, let's go on. And we find in Hebrews chapter 3, for example, looking at verse 7. Hebrews 3:7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Today, the very same word. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 15. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Chapter 4, verse 7, again, He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. And here we have five times in these few verses in the book of Hebrews. God says once again, He says, can I encourage you? He said, how about today? Why put it off any longer? The Israelites went for 40 years in the desert, and they came out after all that time of seeing the deeds of God. They still didn't know the ways of God. And so God says, today, 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 don't put it off any longer. Today determine that by the grace of God you are going to covenant with Him to so get into the Word of God and so follow the teachings of Scripture that you will grow in an understanding of the ways of God and be able to walk in those ways because you see what He's doing. Understanding the ways of God. Now, we cannot determine by the grace of God to understand His ways until we know Him as Savior. The first step, we have to have a personal relationship to God. Do you have a personal relationship with God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? This is basic. This is the first step. You can't go any further until this is done. And once again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, we are told, behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Once again, God's saying, today, right now. Right now is the time to get saved. Right now is the time to repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And then as you come into a personal relationship with Him, then the challenge of the Word of God, the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Hebrews is, okay, now you're saved, you're a redeemed people, you belong to God, now let's go on. Let's not just stay there, let's go on. Let's go on past seeing being amazed at the miracles of God. And let's go on into knowing the ways of God. Knowing how God works. Through the Word of God, learning the ways in which He works. And you know, this is what delights God. It delights Him when God's people are aware of God's ways This is delightful to God. And so his exhortation to us is not just to remain as babies, but growing on. Going on and growing in the things of Christ. Not ignorant. Not an ignorant people, but a wise people. Knowing the ways of God. And so God says to Israel again, and he leaves it completely open-ended, anybody that wasn't there, you're invited also. You're encouraged also. You are challenged also. I want you, says God, to know my ways, that you might be an understanding people, a wise people, knowing the ways of God. So we bow in prayer. Father, we thank thee tonight for the glorious privilege that you've given to us to be members of your family, to be children of God by your grace through faith in Jesus Christ. What a joy. What a thrill. Father, we know that many times we cause you sorrow because we stay right there. And years go by. And although we delight in what you do for us, the miracles you perform, we never become a wise people, knowing the ways of God. We know this brought sorrow to the heart of Moses because he realized the sorrow that this brings to your heart. Father, we pray tonight that by thy grace, the determination of each and every heart here present will be, by the grace of God, I want to go on. I want to so get into the Word of God, so jealously search the Scriptures and give myself to an obedience to all that God tells me, that I might grow in the knowledge of His ways, that I might be not only a member of the family of God, but that I might be a wise child of God, understanding what the will and way of God is. We pray, Father, that you would lead us on in this. We thank you that how you have given us this hunger, we recognize it to be from thee. We ask thee now that thou wouldst fulfill this, and that thou wouldst grant to us, thy people, that just as Moses desired for the people of Israel, that we might have a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear, and that we might know the ways of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.